speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome on this Friday, July 26, 2019. I'm David Knight, your host. We're going to be joined in this program by an expert on CPS, talking about how CPS is being privatized in many different areas, talking about how they are training people in college how they can steal children. Yeah, it's kind of like what they do at the CIA, remember? We lie, we cheat, we have classes on how to do that. Said Mike Pompeo about the CIA, you know, very different from West Point, where he went. And he was okay with that. He thought that was funny. So did his audience. Because we now embrace this kind of depravity, this moving away from any of our standards. We're going to talk a little bit more about the end justifies the means. That's basically where Mueller has come from, right? We've now had Ron Paul, Rand Paul, many people pointing out this whole problem with the fact that we've forgotten this innocent until proven guilty point. I didn't forget it. I pointed this out from the very beginning. I'm glad that Ratcliffe from Texas pointed this out to Mueller. You notice that Mueller didn't say anything about that? Throughout his entire career, Bob Mueller has never operated on the principle of the rule of law. He has never operated on the principle that we have certain things that are not justified by the end. For example, this whole process of spying on the American people and doing it with impunity, right? It was James Clapper who lied under oath to Congress and to the American people. He committed perjury. They never even talked about charging. Not a single member of Congress talked about charging him with perjury. Do you realize how afraid our elected officials are? Whether it's the Congress or the Senate or the President, do you realize from top to bottom, both parties, how afraid they are of the intelligence people? Who really runs this country? The true government is the Intelligence Committee. And, the judges who tell us everything in every aspect of our life that we may or may not do. But they don't have any, feel like they have any constraints to the Constitution or the rule of law. The principles that America was founded on are dead. They're dead. And I hope you see that. I hope some of these Congress people who are talking about this see that this process is dead beyond the present. I said, I hope that as we find that these people were illegally surveying President Trump and his campaign, that perhaps President Trump and the congressmen, as we have said for years here, we've said, you guys better do something about this, because you know what happens when you have a lawless bureaucracy like the CIA, like the FISA court, like the rest of the judiciary, these other bureaucracies, when they are a law unto themselves and they answer to no one, and they don't answer to the law. Do you understand what happens? They come after the elected officials. And now they've come after the elected officials. And I don't know if these elected officials, including President Trump, are going to do anything about it. They want to pretend they're going to have some sacrificial individuals that are going to be out there, I'm sure. And certainly I'm all in favor of Comey and Strzok and Mueller and these people who invented and ran this fraud, this illegal investigation, this attempted coup. I fully favor them being punished. But let's understand, this is broad. This is institutional. Bob Mueller has been the go-to cover-up guy, the figurehead. You know, he's Mr. Fighting Whitey. Remember when they did that? Remember when they did that? They had American Indian Group. They objected to American Indians being used as mascots for sports teams. And the guy said, well, I'll show you guys how it feels. And so we'll do this pipe-smoking, fighting whitey guy. Well, they sold out of all the T-shirts, just like they sold out of all the Trump plastic straws. But he was this guy that was part of the Ivy League establishment. Whether he knew anything or not, he was a great figurehead.
In a world of deceit, Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome on this Friday, July the 26th, year of our Lord 2019. I'm David Knight, your host. We're going to take a look as people began to turn after the Mueller, as I put it yesterday, the competency hearing. Is there anybody in the FBI that is competent or honest? That's the real issue. I don't think that Mueller is necessarily that incompetent. I think he is somebody who has always been chosen by the establishment. They picked him to run the FBI in the run-up to September 11th. I think he took office the day after. He was also somebody who was testifying like James Clapper. As I said at the top of the hour, we never had James Clapper punished for lying to Congress, lying to the American people about dragnet surveillance. See, it was being done to everybody in America before they did it to President Trump. Does that bother you? Bothers me. Nobody's even talking about the fact they're doing it to you and I. I'm glad they're talking about the fact that it's being done to the most powerful people in the country. But, of course, there's Michael Hayden giving his presentation at Washington and Lee University, saying, I blame Ron Wyden. He and all those senators and all the staffers with him, they all knew what was going on. He shouldn't have put James Clapper on the on a spot where he had to lie to everybody. Shame on him for having James Clapper forced to lie about violating the law and the Constitution. That's why he lied, because he was violating the law and the Constitution. But he didn't pay any penalty for lying. I mean, look at what they did to General Flynn. The very first indication that we had right away at the beginning of the Trump administration, entrapment by the FBI, destroying his life, taking him out. Why? Because he was somebody who had told us the truth about how McCain and other people were arming terrorists in Syria, how it was about regime change. So he had to be taken out. Couldn't have somebody like that in there. Had to surround President Trump with people who were reliable puppets of the establishment. But again, going back, the reason I mentioned James Clapper is because Bob Mueller had taken the point in terms of defending dragnet surveillance of the American people. Why? Because he said, well, we need it for national security. It doesn't matter what the Constitution says. It doesn't matter what the law says. It doesn't matter what our inalienable rights that we possess as human beings that we get from God, our Creator, are. Bob Mueller says, well, you know, the end justifies the means. We're going to keep the country and the government and perhaps even the people safe by taking away their privacy, their liberty, by taking away the rule of law. Is it any surprise that they would pick somebody like him to go down this path? And of course, he's been picked always as the special master to take down Volkswagen, you know, bring them to heel, tell them you're not going to make fuel-efficient internal combustion engines. You're not going to do that. You know, those diesel engines that you're about to introduce in the United States that get 100 miles per gallon, that would be fatal to our attempts to make everybody buy electric cars. So we're going to bankrupt you if you do that. And we're going to come pretty close to it. He brought them to heel. He's been at the center, as I pointed out yesterday, the center of many, many of the worst injustices committed against individuals. It is nothing new. So we're going to talk about that. But before we do, I want to get into a little bit of the news. Oh, by the way, we also have another interesting take about conspiracies. I just mentioned yesterday about the writer who said, look, am I a conspiracy theorist? Do I believe that rich and powerful people who want to get richer and want to get more powerful conspire to commit crimes? Yes, I do, he said. And he said, if you don't believe that, you are what we call an idiot. And if you believe that and are afraid to say it, you are what we call a coward. A coward. And now we have a former reporter or anchor, I guess, at MSNBC coming out and saying MSNBC, with all this Russiagate stuff, turned into an InfoWars conspiracy site. So we're going to talk about that. Yeah. Imagine that. Crystal Ball didn't see this coming. She spells her name with a K. I'd never heard of her before. I don't watch MSNBC. Quite frankly, it's a distraction. But she's right about the fact that they went down a rabbit trail. But just calling somebody a conspiracy theorist, you know, when we look at conspiracies, that is the most common charge. Remember, we had all that confusion about Bob Mueller. He's not really sure whether the collusion was a conspiracy and whether the two were equivalent. Remember, we had Representative Collins, I think it was, who questioned him on that. And he said, well, no, they're not equivalent to each other. And he goes, yes, according to law, they are. And according to your report, they are. Let's see. Do I want to denounce my report or do I want to denounce what I just said? See, it would have been just like, as I've said many times, when they did this to General Flynn and started doing it to Roger Stone and to other people, right? And that didn't get anything about Roger Stone. I mean, they're still just coming after him to try to besmirch President Trump. But, you know, you ask somebody, you know, what the time of day is, or any kind of trivial question. It's like Monty Python's Holy Grail. Remember that? They go to the Bridge of Doom. And the guy asks three questions. And, you know, like the first two are very, very obvious. And the third one is like, you know, what's the average airspeed velocity of a swallow? So, and if you get the wrong answer, you know, like, what's your favorite color? You know, the guy stumbles and he goes, red. No, I mean blue. And then he's catapulted into the Bridge of Doom. Well, that's what the FBI does to you. The FBI just comes up. You don't even know that you're standing at the edge of the chasm of doom. They don't even inform you like they didn't. General Flynn, he didn't have counsel there. He wasn't informed that he was being interrogated about anything. They just ask you some casual questions. You know, what's your favorite color? Red. No, I mean blue. Oh, you lied. You're going to jail. We're going to take everything you've got. Bob Mueller gets confused about the legal definition of collusion and conspiracy. And he doesn't know what's in his report. And he contradicts his report. Then he contradicts his testimony. No problem. He doesn't get catapulted into the Bridge of Doom, does he? But, you know, when we look at a conspiracy, again, you know, even though he's confused about it, conspiracy is the most common charge. Anytime you've got a crime that involves more than one individual, everybody there is accused of conspiracy. Sometimes, even if there's no crime committed, let's say that, you know, some guys are working on robbing a bank, even if they don't go through the robbery. Maybe the police bust them before they start the robbery. Well, they all get charged with conspiracy to commit a robbery, right? And so when we look at a crime that's being solved, you know, we see a crime that happens and they immediately want to start using this to take away our freedoms. We start looking at this and saying, well, okay, well, who has a motive in this? Who had the opportunity? What did the witnesses say? You know, that type of thing. Is there any physical evidence? Does the government's conspiracy theory match the facts? Let's do a little bit of an investigation here. Now, we don't have the power to subpoena people, right? So I can't tell you who took down the towers of 9/11, but I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, and I can go down 5, 6, 7, 8 different paths to each one of them to prove to you that the government's official conspiracy theory about 9/11 is false. It's just what Arthur Conan Doyle said, had put it in the words of Sherlock Holmes, deductive reasoning. He said, we rule out the impossible, whatever's left, no matter how improbable, is the truth. That's why they call us 9/11 truthers. That's why we call them 9/11 liars. And so we're going to take a look at whether or not they got into a conspiracy, you know, theory, or did they even get that far? I mean, did they even do an investigation? I mean, the whole bottom line about this is there is no such thing, folks, as an objective journalist. What we do is we present the facts, and then we give you our analysis of it. Now, that's what I do. Sean Hannity said, I'm not a journalist. You know, I'm commenting on this. I'm telling you what I think from what I see, pulling the pieces together. You know, I've been a kind of a journalist. I've been places like the Bundy Ranch and the Democrat National Convention, and I report on what I see there factually. But then I also give you the background and how it ties together again. That, you know, oh, well, that's a conspiracy, isn't it? Well, no. But if I see a conspiracy, I say something about it. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Let's get into the news. We have the Trump campaign. We told you about their campaign to sell reusable plastic straws to take on the poster child, if you will, of the environmentalist. It was not this year, but the year before on Earth Day that they started focusing on these masses of floating plastic in the Pacific Ocean. Now, those masses are not coming from the United States. They're coming from Asian countries, China and others. And yet, because of a conspiracy theory by a nine-year-old who came up with the idea that as he was sitting in a restaurant angrily looking at the people around him and deciding that he knows better than they how to protect the environment, decided that we needed to ban plastic straws. A nine-year-old. And yet, this is not what is responsible for these floating masses of plastic. The solution, quite frankly, is to cleanly burn them, burn all this plastic. You can do that cleanly, and you can actually derive energy from it. The horror. Can you imagine the horror that strikes in the heart of the environmentalist to tell them, just burn the plastic? So President Trump, as he always said, raised more than $200,000. They sold out of these plastic straws that have laser engraved on them, Trump. Brad Parscale said, we sold out our first several thousand orders. Many new donors for 2020. Thank you. Our great American manufacturer promised to produce as many as you order. You know what this reminds me of? Phyllis Schlafly, who was, you may remember her, she's passed on, a very outspoken conservative woman in support of Ronald Reagan. She went to an event. They didn't know who she was. And these people were selling toilet paper with Ronald Reagan's face on it. So instead of getting angry, she got even. What she did was she bought the roll of toilet paper, and then she set up another booth, and she started selling individual sheets to the left-wing activists there at about $1 a piece. They made about 1,000 times more money than the other people did and donated it to Ronald Reagan. This is what this Trump campaign reminds me of with the plastic straws. Absolutely fantastic what he's doing. Now, Joe Biden, and we got the debates coming up this next week. We'll be covering those live here at InfoWars. Joe Biden is coming out and saying, Christians have made a Faustian bargain with Donald Trump. In other words, for those of you who are not up on your Goethe, he called Donald Trump Satan. So now he's gone from, Hitler to actually Satan, according to Joe Biden, the guy who kisses his young female relatives on the lips. President Trump, what is surprising to me is that as President Trump has failed to do anything about the border, which was his signal issue, he has delivered on other issues. And I was actually surprised at how good a pro-life president he's been. He's been better than any of the Republicans, including Ronald Reagan, that we had as pro-life president. And so if you're interested in issues, President Trump actually delivered on many of those issues. Now, the big issues that have come up now, free speech, the free exercise of religion on the internet now. We're not talking about how free exercise religion has been purged from schools, purged from the public square, but now it's being purged from the digital public square. No, President Trump hasn't done anything about that. But I have to say to the Christians out there, we've got to understand that it isn't going to be any president. It's not going to be any Congress that's going to do anything about this. We have to use the 10th Amendment. We have the power to push back this intrusion into our lives. That the Supreme Court, with Roe v. Wade, defining life and using it to destroy life, using that definition to destroy life. The Supreme Court defining marriage and using that to destroy marriage. We have been as passive in allowing that to happen as our elected representatives in Congress and our elected presidents have been. We have ceded our power, because we have power. I have power, right? Like the TSA agent did. I have power. We do have power. We have power from the 10th Amendment. It clearly states the federal government doesn't have it. Certainly not. The judiciary doesn't have the power to define these things in our individual life, and they don't have the power to intrude themselves into state issues. that don't cross state lines or are not between a citizen of a state and a, you know, another citizen, or between a state and a foreign power. The Supreme Court doesn't have any jurisdiction there. Look at the Constitution. Look at Article 3. But the Ninth and Tenth Amendment make it very, very clear, just in case you thought that you could wrangle this power out by twisting the statement about the general welfare or twisting the Commerce Clause. Ninth and Tenth Amendment make it clear you don't have that power. And so just as, and pay attention, Christians, you want to do something about what has happened in the definition of marriage, or what has happened with Roe v. Wade, or many of these other issues. You know, you appeal to the Supreme Court and ask them not to take down a cross at a cemetery that's been up for over 100 years, and you appeal to the Supreme Court? Shame on you. Shame on you. You should get the right people elected at the local level who are going to stand up to this usurping of power by the federal judiciary. And so you're not going to do that. We have our laws. We have our state constitution here. We have a sheriff. We have all these other things. You have no power to enforce this. Now, you're going to also have to wean yourself off of the bribes that come out from the federal government. But to say that we're going to solve all these problems by electing a president who is then going to appoint people to the federal courts and to the Supreme Court who are going to somehow make the right decisions and are going to support the Constitution. We need to support the Constitution. If we don't support the Constitution, no president is going to challenge that power structure. Nobody in Congress is going to challenge it. Don't you see that? I mean, this has been going on for over 100 years. These people laying down in front of a judiciary that has declared itself supreme over everything. So, and I think Christians need to take a look at what happened with marijuana, both medical marijuana and even recreational marijuana. That is the pattern of how you can peacefully nullify when the government overreaches, the federal government overreaches its power. State after state, we've had more than two-thirds of the states tell the government, even though the federal government followed the agenda of the United Nations, Richard Nixon made marijuana a class one drug, lying about the fact that it had absolutely no medical use. We all know that's not true. And they prohibited it as the most dangerous class of drugs, drugs that are highly dangerous and have no medical use. Well, we know that's not true. And you had more than two-thirds of the states, either with a referenda of the people or with the state legislatures, tell the government to go pound sand. And even Jeff Sessions was afraid to take that on. And so you have Joe Biden saying here, well, I think the bargain is, as long as you say you're going to take on the LGBT community, as long as you say you're going to end abortion in any circumstances, as long as you say those things, we'll overlook your personal conduct. We'll overlook the things you say. So he's doing the same thing that Buttigieg does. Buttigieg's tactic is to attack Trump personally so then he can push the LGBT intolerance to take away our freedoms and our rights. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The mainstream propaganda. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. I was just saying that Joe Biden said Christians have made a Faustian bargain with Donald Trump. He doesn't like his private life. He doesn't like the things that Donald Trump says. And he says, you Christians have said, we'll overlook the things that you say and do as long as you stop the murdering of children by the millions. Yeah, that's what we said. I'll stand by that bargain. Remember that it was Biden who just last year said that those who support traditional marriage because of their religion were, quote, the dregs of society. If you believe that marriage is between one man and one woman, Joe Biden says you are the, quote, dregs of society. All of you Christians out there. And so now he's lecturing you on the fact that you should be ashamed of yourself for not supporting him. He's gone way beyond deplorables, right? You are now the dregs, according to him. And he said the only question remains whether or not Christians would choose hope over fear and vote for him. Well, Joe, we don't fear you. We fear God. And I don't know. I don't know what Joe Biden and Buttigieg would say about King David, for example. He had some pretty major failings in his life, didn't he? He repented of those. I don't know what the personal situation of Donald Trump is, but I do know that I can't vote for somebody who wants to fund the murder of children. I can't vote for individuals who have been part of that for decades, for their entire political life. I know that under the Trump administration, at least Planned Parenthood is $60 million poorer. And I think that's a good thing. We have in Mississippi, and we're going to have a guest joining us in the next hour talking about CPS and how it is moving. So I look at this headline on Breitbart. Mississippi CPS celebrates a record number of adoptions. Record number of adoptions. Well, I think it's a good thing to adopt kids. I think that we should do what we can for widows and orphans. I think adoption is a very good thing. We've adopted a couple of children ourselves. But when I look at CPS in the headlines, that gets me very concerned. Because what we're going to be talking about in the next hour, and what should be coming up as everybody talks about this Mueller investigation. Well, the standard is innocent until proven guilty. Well, that should apply to families as well, shouldn't it? But because we have this massive bureaucracy, CPS, who is very hungry for children to put into foster care and to do other things with it, we just kind of throw away that innocent until proven guilty aspect of it. We were very careful when we adopted children to make sure they weren't stolen from the parents. We could see that this was happening even back then. Reports are stating that they had 657 adoptions finalized between July 2018 and June 30th, 2019. Currently, 129 awaiting approval. I thought that was really amazingly small. I'm surprising that it's as many as there are there. And I'm sure that many of these children need a home and have maybe been taken out of abusive situations. The problem is, again, you have to have due process. And I have talked to so many parents who have become victims of a for-profit system, and it's getting more that way as well. Our guest is going to be talking about how it is being privatized. It's going to be even more grasping of children, because they're going to have something to come into that system. I can remember when my wife and I first began to try to adopt, we went to a meeting, and it was filled with a lot of couples who wanted to have children. They were all white, and the person stood up and said, "Well, I can see that I can't really help you here. We have a policy that we don't allow cross-racial adoption. And we only have black children right now. And I don't see any black families out here to adopt the black children." How sad is that? Now, they have changed that policy subsequently. And some of our Christian friends have adopted entire sibling groups. And these are situations where the parents were in prison, because they were addicted to drugs and that type of thing. It was a legitimate adoption. Subsequent to that, my wife and I were still looking for children to adopt locally. We contacted the state home that was run by the state government. My wife said, I want to talk to you about adopting children out of that orphanage. And they said, we don't do that. If we adopted children out of the orphanage, what would we do? That's what they actually said to her on the phone. What would we do? See, that's what's going on with CPS. What we saw with that little orphanage there. If we adopted children out of this orphanage, what would I do for a living? I'm a child herder. It's like I got these sheep here or something. That's my job. I grow this stuff, or I, raise these animals or whatever. I'm raising kids here, and I'm not taking them out. What are you, crazy? And so we did a private adoption. We did a foreign adoption in China. They had the one-child policy. People were abandoning their children. if they were female. They said, well, if I can only have one child, I want a male child. And so they would give up the females. In our particular case, our daughter had a problem, medical problem, that even though they have government-provided health care, they couldn't get any help for. So the only alternative her biological mother had was to give her up to the state. We're going to be talking about the bad aspects of this. Look, I agree that it's a good thing to have adoption. Absolutely, it's a wonderful thing. And I would highly encourage that to anybody who is having difficulty having kids. It's such a wonderful thing, personally. Now, lawmakers have introduced a bipartisan adoption tax credit. I think, the government ought to make it easier for people if they're going to adopt. I fully favor an adoption tax credit. And I favor giving a stable home to children whose parents are drug addicts in prison. But let's make sure that there's a due process involved, because that is not happening in many of these cases. There's no due process when they take your car or your home or your plane or your cash, in many cases, under the war on drugs. I mean, you talk about innocent until proven guilty for President Trump. Okay, that's right. Absolutely. And Representative Ratcliffe, and I'd say Rand Paul, the rest of you, and I know Rand Paul has talked about civil asset forfeiture. Why don't you talk about civil asset forfeiture? Why don't you talk about the situation where people are robbed, typically poor people, are robbed of their car or their cash? Why? Because they know, the police know, that they don't have the financial resources to sue the government. They never charge the people with a crime. They charge the inanimate object that the government is stealing. And you have these local officials partnering with the federal government to steal property from people. And we've tolerated that so long in the name of the war on drugs, and now we tolerate them stealing our children using CPS. And just like many of these police departments, CPS is operating this for profit. It's absolutely disgusting. This Georgia County, I'll give you an example. I mean, we just had yesterday, the news was that a Christian charity group that was trying to help veterans was shut down by YouTube from running ads. Why? Because they identified themselves as Christian. That was the offense. They said, there's an offending word here, Christian. You remove that word Christian, we'll let you sell ads asking for people to help you help veterans. But if you're going to say you're Christian, you can't do that. And the same thing is now happening in Georgia. Georgia County, this is a group called Vision Warriors. Their aim is to help men be better disciples, fathers, husbands, leaders, and friends. They had a piece of property there that had been used in Woodstock, Georgia, 6.5 acres. They'd been using it as a retreat for missionaries and families in need. They decided, well, we're going to repurpose this to help veterans, people who are not recovering drug addicts, but they've recovered now, but they still need a hand. They got authorization for that, and then when the government found out it was a Christian organization doing that, they revoked their zoning. We'll talk more about that when we come back. Stay with us. Welcome back. We have Joe Biden saying, you Christians, you voted for President Trump, but look at what a despicable guy he is. And then he says that we are despicable. Absolutely, yeah. Calls us basically the dregs of society. We're not deplorable. We're not despicable. We're the dregs, that other D word. Guess we could call them 3D Democrats. They think that all of us out here, all of us Christians, we are deplorable, despicable, and dregs. 3D. And, we look at what is going on with Planned Parenthood. Yes, we could hope that there is more that would be done. And as I said, we're going to have to assert the Ninth and Tenth Amendment at the state level. We need to say, look, we define marriage. We define life. I'm glad that the people of Alabama are challenging Roe v. Wade. But they're challenging the wrong thing. They need to not be challenging a Supreme Court decision. They need to be challenging the power that the Supreme Court has decided they have over our lives. It's not Roe v. Wade. It's Marbury versus Madison that they need to be challenging. They need to go back to the Ninth and Tenth Amendment as understood and written by the founders. As repeated by Andrew Jackson, they've made their decision. Let's see them enforce it. It's very clear what the Ninth and Tenth Amendments say. And to go back and to appeal to the Supreme Court over one particular issue, when they've asserted power over the most minute details of our lives, usurped that power. They don't have that power. Nobody in the federal government does, certainly not the judiciary. Nevertheless, when we go back and look at operating in this post-constitutional paradigm that we find ourselves in, think about the news article that just came out of Phoenix. Graphic, the FBI found buckets of heads, arms, and legs. We're not talking about abortion clinic here, right? You might think that this is a story about abortion. No, this is a story about how people can look the other way when this is done to the most innocent among us, when this is done to babies who are still alive. This was something that was done to dead bodies that were donated to a clinic. These people were already dead. And they desecrated the bodies. I mean, you've got plaintiffs that are suing them based on what they found back in 2014. 5 years ago, the FBI raided the Biological Resource Center as part of a human body parts trafficking investigation in 2014. Agents found buckets full of body parts and different people sewn together and hung up on a wall, according to testimony of one of the agents. Troy Harp said, this is a horror story. It's just unbelievable. This story is unbelievable. That was not an agent, but that was somebody who donated the bodies of his mother and grandmother to the facility in 2012 and 2013. He is one of more than 30 plaintiffs in a lawsuit against that business. They said they donated the bodies with the understanding that they would be used for scientific purposes. Now, this reminds me of what was discovered at the Gosnell Clinic. Kermit Gosnell, the abortionist, don't call him an abortionist, says NPR, says the Associated Press style rules. You do not call these people who perform abortions, you don't call them abortionists. You don't call them abortion doctors. NPR and others will refuse your ads, as Phelan McAleer and others who wrote a book on Gosnell, then did a movie about Gosnell, they would not let them advertise on NPR because they said, well, this is a doctor who performed abortion. Sorry, that's not even allowed. That's not even allowed. You can't talk about that. This is a guy who was convicted of murder. He was convicted in the death of a woman of color, a refugee immigrant who came here. He was also convicted in the murder of two full-term infants. He's in prison, but you can't call him an abortionist or a doctor who performs abortions. And in his clinic, that's exactly what these people found. They went in there and they said, look at this. He has all these different body parts and jars and everything, except those are body parts that were taken from living babies before he got a hold of them. These are body parts of donated cadavers that were disrespected. In 2014, the FBI raided the facility in hazmat suits as part of a multi-state investigation into the illegal trafficking and sale of human body parts. Why, I ask you, in light of the Center for Medical Progress and the videos that they got of Planned Parenthood individuals conspiring, that's exactly what they were doing. They were going to do something illegal, and they were talking to other people about it. That is a conspiracy. They were conspiring to traffic in body parts. What do you need? We'll make sure we secure that. What kind of, you know, what turn? How far along do you need these babies? We'll talk somebody into letting us kill their baby, and we'll give you the parts. That's exactly what it was, right? Why isn't the FBI doing an investigation into that? Why are they investigating what was done to dead body parts? I have no problem with them doing that, but you're not going to pay attention to the procurement of living body parts from innocent babies? No, they're not. Not this FBI. They've got more important things to do, like overthrow our election. The agent said he found a cooler filled with male genitalia, a bucket of heads and arms and legs, infected heads. A small woman's head sewn onto a large male torso, like Frankenstein, hanging up on the wall. They called it, in the lawsuit, a, quote, morbid joke. Again, Harp, the guy who donated his mother and grandmother's body to them in the previous year, said, who in their right mind would do this? Well, I'll tell you who would do that. Planned Parenthood. That's one of the reasons why they had the change in the CEO there, to try to distance themselves from this Center for Medical Progress. And you got people like Kamala Harris in California. Again, doing the same thing that Hillary Clinton did when her actions were exposed. Who did that? How did they get that information? That's what they did with Center for Medical Progress. How did you get that information of us confessing and conspiring to procure body parts from living babies? How did you get that information? I don't want to know what that information is. How did you get it? That's exactly what we've been looking at with President Trump. We got to take these principles down to the grassroots level and stop being so preoccupied with a couple of privileged politicians at the top. Look, I understand how dangerous it is when they can do this to the president. And I don't want to see the election overthrown. And I want to see these individuals go to jail. But I want to see real reform. I want to see innocent until proven guilty applied to parents, applied to individuals. I want to see the FBI investigating real crime, the murder of tens of millions of kids. This vast criminal conspiracy we call Planned Parenthood. I'm glad that the Trump administration has put in some different rules and it cost them $60 million. But folks, if we don't do a fundamental change on this, they get that $60 million back as soon as the next Democrats, as soon as they get a majority or they get a Democrat president. It comes right back in. It just seesaws back and forth. We have to take back the power at the local level. The lawsuit says the bodies were cut up with chainsaws and bandsaws. And again, the man who donated family members there. Tools, he said, that are not appropriate for dismembering scientific bodies. Well, would you prefer pliers to rip living babies apart instead of chainsaws and bandsaws? You know, I guess it's okay to do this, putting the hanging, you know, sewing body parts together and hanging them on the wall for a morbid joke. That's disgusting. But I guess it's okay if your motivation is you want to make more money so you can buy a Lamborghini. That's exactly what we heard from Planned Parenthood. Sorry, no crime going to be investigated by that, by our beloved FBI agents. Not an issue. Folks, we're about to take a break. Again, in the next hour, we're going to be talking to Olivia Pleasant. She is going to be talking to us about what is going on with CPS, so stay tuned. Before we go to break, I just want to remind you about the sales we have at InfoWarsStore.com, because, folks, if you don't support us, we're going to go away. You can see this as the censorship gets tighter and tighter. You use the word Christian, you're gone from YouTube. I'm on life support at YouTube. My days are numbered. Look, our days are numbered anyway, so I don't really care. My life is not tied up with YouTube. You can still find me there, Libertarian. You can find me, though, at InfoWars.com/David-Knight-Show, because I'm going to always be allowed to talk about issues that affect your liberty and your life as long as you support us at InfoWarsStore.com. And we've got some great specials right now to help you do that. We've got 50% off some very expensive items, things like DNA Force, Alexa Pure Pro Water Filtration System. That's a gravity feed water filtration system. The DNA Force Plus is 50% off. That's a big dollar savings because that's a very expensive supplement to produce with PQQ. Also, the water filter, that's 40% off. And we have all storable food up to 50% off. Take a look. InfoWarsStore.com. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Reverse engineering the high-tech takeover plan. This is The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. As Joe Biden calls Christians who vote for President Trump because, you know, we think that he's going to do something to stop the murder of tens of millions of babies, because we want to have the freedom to define marriage as we see fit. He calls us the dregs of society. He says we have made a Faustian bargain with President Trump. And yet, as we look at what's going on with Planned Parenthood, and some positive news there, as the government at least stops giving them tens of millions of dollars to kill babies. Maybe the people who are Democrats with Planned Parenthood, maybe they can understand the issue if we look at this particular issue. Let's take a look at the Monsanto Cancer Victims Award being cut by a judge from $2 billion to $86 million. You know, when you look at this situation with Monsanto and now Bayer, who owns Monsanto, when you look at this, can you see Democrats, the profiteering in human lives when you look at this particular issue, even if you can't see it with Planned Parenthood? A California judge reduced the jury's $2 billion punitive damages award for a couple who blamed Monsanto's weed killer, going by the name Roundup. They blamed it for their cancer. The judge said the award was excessive and unconstitutional. There is a constitutional clause for excessive punishment. I think that applies to the government punishing people, though. They say this is because the jury gave excessive punishment. You know what the jury was trying to do? They were trying to make this award so large that it wouldn't just be a pinprick or a slap on the hand for this giant corporation. They want them to stop poisoning people. That's why they made the judgment so large. And that's why the pharmaceutical industry, working with the FDA and the federal government, made sure that you couldn't sue the pharmaceutical companies for damages from vaccines. That is not allowed, because they're going to make these vaccines one way or the other, and they don't care who gets harmed by them. Just like Monsanto and Bayer doesn't care about who gets harmed by their products. You want to talk about excessive and unconstitutional? Judge, have you ever stopped any of the law enforcement organizations who have stolen people's property under this legal fiction called civil asset forfeiture? They call it civil because they say, well, this is a civil action. This is not a criminal action. When the police come and take your stuff because they think that there's drugs involved, you don't think that's enforcing a crime? Oh, no, they say. No, that is civil. Because this is a rule that wasn't created by your elected representatives. This is a rule that was created by an unelected bureaucracy. So this is a civil matter. And they are not going to stand down when you have a bureaucracy, whether it is the FCC, telling people, as they did for a while, if you don't register your drone that is under X number of pounds, these little toy drones, remember just before Christmas, 2 years ago, I think, maybe three? They said, we're going to have everybody register their drones. And if you don't register a drone and we see you flying that, we're going to give you, and I forget what it was, it's $10,000, $20,000, something like that. Eventually, they were shamed into taking it back, but it was no federal judge saying that is a violation of excessive penalties. You can't penalize somebody $10,000 or $20,000 because they didn't register a toy drone. The federal judges didn't have a problem with that. Just like the federal judges don't have a problem with a bureaucracy, the IRS, running excessive penalties against you, taking away your presumption of innocence. You know, you have no presumption of innocence with the income tax. You're presumed to owe the tax, and you have to prove your innocence in not owing the tax. See, that's where we get into all this administrative law. And yet, when it comes to big corporation, big pharmaceutical corporation, no, they have rights, just like the people who own the internet. They have rights. You don't have rights. You don't have free speech rights. They do. They control your speech. You don't have any health protection. These people have profit rights. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. Let's take a look at the charges by a former employee of MSNBC, Crystal Ball, who said that MSNBC had become an InfoWars conspiracy theory site, not a news site. And I also want to take a look at the conspiracy theories that we've seen in a lot of different areas. You know what? Ilhan Omar's got a new conspiracy theory. She thinks that the real threat to this country is not Islamic jihadist, but it's white men. And that's exactly what the government should be cracking down on. They should be monitoring white men, not Muslim extremists. So we're going to get into that in just a moment as well. But let's start with one of the conspiracy theories that they say has been around for a long time. You know, the idea that Turkey, a little over 100 years ago, created a massive execution. The Turkish Muslims did the first genocide. As a matter of fact, the term genocide was coined because of what the Turks had done to the Armenian Christians. Between 1914 and 1923, during and after World War I, hundreds of thousands of Armenians living in Turkey were systematically rounded up and murdered. Now, that's a fact. The disagreement is the motivation behind this. Is this something that just some people did some things, right? Oh, nothing to see here. Just move on. Or was this an intended purge of Christians in that area? Some estimates put the death at more than 1.5 million. Now, researchers say newly discovered documents suggest the Armenian genocide was both sanctioned and assisted by leaders of the Ottoman Empire in Istanbul. You'll still find Stink Uyghur and the Young Turds pushing back against this. They don't believe it. As a matter of fact, the majority of Turks don't believe this, still deny it, as we saw at the 100th anniversary of this. The fact that the Armenian genocide happened is well accepted within academic circles. However, the Turkish government has continued to deny the culpability. Erdogan said back in 2015, as it was the 100th anniversary of this, because they picked the year 1915, it's kind of in the middle of that purge, the Armenian diaspora is trying to instill hatred against Turkey through a worldwide campaign on genocide claims ahead of the centennial anniversary of 1915, said Erdogan back in 2015. At the time, the New York Times reported that fewer than 1 in 10 Turks believe the government should label the atrocities genocide and apologize. So Stink Uyghur and the Young Turds are really with the majority of Turks in this, 90% of them. Don't think that it's a genocide. Now, this has been denounced as a conspiracy theory. There's no question that people died. The question is, what was behind it? What were the motivations behind it? Well, now we know. Because one guy who is a historian who's been researching this, he said what was missing was the smoking gun that linked the atrocities to the Ottoman government. And that's exactly what he found. He said, Turkish government officials continue to use the same argument, the argument that the Ottoman government never had the intent. In other words, the same thing we hear from Ilhan Omar. Some people did some things. It's, you know, there's nothing organized about this, no hatred about this at all. His discovery suggests the genocide was indeed carried out on the periphery, not by rogue agents and bandits, you know, the some people, but by provincial governors. These governors were in communication with and assisted by the leaders in Istanbul, in the capital. So it was orchestrated and organized by the government itself from the top to the bottom. It wasn't just random people doing things here and there. He said this shows the radicalization process started in the provinces. In addition to the documents retrieved from the Ottoman archive in Istanbul, he also discovered similar letters, transcribed telegrams that were used as evidence and tribunals that were organized by the post-war Ottoman government. See, when we talk about this, you have certain things like this has been denied for 100 years as a conspiracy theory. And when we look at things like this, yeah, it was a conspiracy. It was a conspiracy fact. It was a conspiracy within the government. It wasn't just random things that happened. Whenever a crime is committed, that's a reasonable thing to do. Everybody, you look at any detective show, what do? They look at the different aspects of who benefited from this, who had the ability to do this, what hard evidence do we have, do we have any witnesses about this? And eventually, you get to the point where maybe you uncover a document. Maybe someday we'll do that with 9/11. Maybe we'll find the document to find out who did it. And, you know, why we got this state imposed on us that has no resemblance whatsoever to America under the Patriot Act. And now, you know, these same people out there, we got a CNN editor, kind of like these people in Turkey. We have a CNN editor who has now had to resign or been fired, Mohammed El-Shami. had a series of anti-Semitic tweets that he's been doing back in 2011. CNN still hired him, just like the New York Times hired Sarah Jeong, right? In spite of all of her tweets hating white people, oh, they're smelly, I hate them, just kill them all, and all that kind of, they said, no, we're going to hire her. We don't care. And remember, Candace Owen took those same tweets and put them out. Candace Owen, a young black woman, she took those same tweets where Sarah Jeong, an Asian, was declaring her undying hatred of white men. Candace Owens put that in there and just changed the white to black, and she got banned right away. But of course, Sarah Jeong was never banned by Twitter. This guy was never banned by Twitter, Mohammed El-Shami. And CNN, desperate to try to reestablish their credentials, has banned this guy. Some of the things that he had to say, pretty amazing what he had to say. Things like, Israel is the main enemy for the people of Egypt and shall always remain despite rulers who lick their boots and so forth. More than four Jewish pigs killed in Jerusalem today by the Palestinian bomb exploding. On and on. Things are very racist, very hateful towards a group. You would think that, keep hearing that racism is the reason that you get banned on Twitter and on Facebook. You're bullying people. You're coming after particular groups, but this is okay. This is not a problem. Jerry Dunleavy writes, breaking news yesterday, Mohammed El-Shami, a photographer and a writer for CNN, has numerous old posts showing that he was a vicious anti-Semite celebrating the deaths of, quote, Jewish pigs, unquote, in terrorist attacks, praising Hamas for attacking Zionists and more. And again, we have seen this over and over again, as one individual says, hey, CNN, how does someone like Mohammed El-Shami, who tweets things like this, get through the hiring process at CNN? I'm just asking for a friend. Well, I'm asking for a friend. How do they get through the vetting process of our internet masters who are so careful to look at all this? As I was saying earlier, we have a Christian county that's decided that they want to revoke permission for a Christian ministry. You can't even say on YouTube that you are collecting money as a Christian group to help veterans. Oh, you use that term Christian, you're going to be purged. But this kind of hatred is allowed. And so CNN had to do that. I mean, CNN is, I saw this headline from Washington Examiner, said CNN sinks. I thought it said CNN stinks. It's just subliminal, projection. Smallest audience for the Mueller testimony. They had an audience that was half the size of Fox's news audience at night. Their audience is about a quarter of what Fox's is. MSNBC's is about half. And again, we're going to get to what this crystal ball at MSNBC said. She said, well, they've become InfoWars. No, they haven't. I actually give you facts on things. They haven't given us facts for 3 years. We've been debunking their conspiracy theory. They continue to push it. Here's another conspiracy theory, though. Let's just take a look at a few of these conspiracy theories before we get into what Crystal Ball says. Crystal with a K. Jesuit Magazine makes, quote, the Catholic case for communism. Now, this is something that's denounced as a conspiracy theory, the fact that the Jesuits are pushing communism and trying to eradicate traditional Catholicism. Oh, that's just a conspiracy theory, right? No, that Alex Newman with New American on many times talking about how you have the radical liberation theology is nothing but Marxism. That's the background from where this pope, this current pope, comes from. These guys have been hardcore Marxists, and now they're openly admitting it and pushing for Bernie Sanders and for Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, occasional Cortex. We'll be right back. Welcome back. We're talking about conspiracies. We've had InfoWars called a conspiracy theory site again by somebody who is saying MSNBC has engaged in InfoWars conspiracy theory on Russia, and it's destroying the network. Well, they engaged in unsubstantiated slander in a conspiracy theory. Yes, it is a conspiracy theory. We've said this for a very long time. The government's got many conspiracy theories. They've got one about 9/11. We've seen the people in Turkey, as I mentioned, refused for over 100 years to admit that the genocide there, and that was the first time the word was used, genocide. Ah, that's just a conspiracy theory. You have absolutely no proof. Well, now there is proof. Why did people keep looking? Well, because there was a lot of physical evidence. There were a lot of eyewitness testimonies that refuted what the government was saying. That's exactly why we continue to look for information about 9/11. It doesn't fit the facts. It doesn't fit what witnesses saw. That narrative doesn't stand up to scrutiny. But here's another one, as I was talking about. You know, the whole idea, many people call this a conspiracy theory, the idea that Jesuits are pushing communism and trying to push out traditional Catholicism. This is a story on Breitbart pointing out that the Jesuit flagship publication in the U.S., it's called America Magazine, has now published an article defending Marxism and comparing it to Christianity, even though it has killed over 100 million people in the 20th century, even though it is thoroughly atheist. They compare this to Christianity, the Jesuits do. Now, see, that's just a conspiracy theory, we're told. Oh, no, 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 you think that the Jesuits are anti-Christian. You think they're pro-Marxist. Oh, well, now we have the signed confession of their biggest magazine. In the Catholic Case for Communism, that's the name of the article, an America writer named Dean Detloff says that the militant atheism of Marxist politics is, quote, understandable. He said because, quote, Christianity has so often been a force allied to the ruling powers that exploit the poor. See that? Christianity is a ideology in the eyes of this Jesuit organization. It is an ideology of exploitation, an ideology of privilege. They're exploiting the poor. This is classic Marxism, but he gets even more specific about that. He suggests the negative reaction to, quote, Bernie Sanders' inspiring 2016 primary bid and the electoral success of AOC and Rashida Tlaib represents a, quote, revival of socialist hysteria. Well, I would agree with him. I think that Bernie Sanders and AOC and Rashida Tlaib, the squad, I think they are socialist hysteria. It is a revival of socialist. What he meant to say, I think, is anti-socialist hysteria. Oh, if you criticize these people, you are reactionary. If you call somebody a communist, even if they talk about Marx and Engels and class struggle and how we need to redistribute income with the government, if you call those people a Marxist or a communist, oh, you're reactionary. You're hysterical. No, you know, if it walks and talks and acts like a Marxist communist, it is. He goes on to say, quote, many of my friends in the Party for Socialism and Liberation, for example, a Marxist-Leninist party, are church-going Christians, as are lots of people in the radical wing of the Democratic Socialists of America. And so are some of his good friends, like the Jesuit Pope, Pope Francis, who comes out of that environment in South America. That's where the liberation theology Marxist began. That was far more important to them than anything that had to do with Jesus or Christianity. Karl Marx is far more important to them than Jesus. They should call themselves, instead of the Society of Jesus, they should be more honest and call themselves the Society of Marx, because that's what these Jesuits, these liberation theologists out of South America are. And that's, again, where Pope Francis got. That's why he talks about globalism, environmentalism, social justice, open borders, and all this. That's why he's there all the time. The three controversies that Pope Francis has gotten caught up in all have to do with interviews that he's given to an atheist, a Marxist, there in Rome. The first time that he got caught up in a scandal was right after he became Pope, and he gave an interview with this guy, and the guy came back and said, well, you know, the Pope told me that he thinks that only about, you know, 2% or something like that. I forget what it was. I think it was 2%. Only 2% of the priests are pedophiles. I remember doing the math, and I remember the number that I came up with. I said, well, how many priests do they have? Well, that would be about 8,000 priests. Only 8,000 priests are pedophiles, according to Pope Francis. Now, that created quite a stir, and the Vatican pushed back against it, but Pope Francis never said anything. And then he's had two more subsequent to that. I mean, you would think after that particular kerfuffle, if his quotes were taken out of context, that he wouldn't give any more interviews to this guy. And why did he give an interview to this guy? Again, this guy is an atheist, a Marxist. Maybe it's because the two of them share their belief system. Maybe it's because the Pope identifies more as a Marxist than he does as a Christian. He had other controversies after that. He continued. He's given him now three different interviews. Three big controversies came out of each one of those, but he just keeps doing it. So again, this writer in the Jesuit magazine describes Christianity as just another ideological faction, like communism. He said the history of communism, whatever else it might be, will always contain a history of Christianity and vice versa, whether members of either faction like it or not. He says communism in its socio-political expression has at times caused great human and ecological suffering. But it's just because communism is an unfinished product. See, we've always heard that. You know, they're still working on it. You know, that whole idea, you know, from each according to his ability to each according to his, that's a great idea. Most people, you ask, you do a man on the street or you go on campus and you ask the students, you know, where's that come from? Well, it comes from the Bible, doesn't it? No. It comes from Karl Marx. So he thinks that over 100 million deaths in the 20th century are just ecological suffering because this project of Marxism is unfinished. But then he goes on to talk about private property, and I want to give you his quote about that. He said, although the Catholic Church officially teaches that private property is a natural right, he said, this teaching also comes with the proviso that private property is always subordinate to the common good. Oh, so it should be confiscated, right? Again, communism. But don't call him a communist, because then you would be a reactionary, right? But as Breitbart points out, if you go back to the Magna Carta of Catholic social thought, written by Pope Leo XIII back in 1891. It was an encyclical that he put out. And listen to what he wrote, what this previous pope, before the Jesuits got control, said. Pope Leo said, working on the poor man's envy of the rich, they're striving to do away with private property, and they contend that individual possessions should become the common property of all to be administered by the state or by municipal bodies. You see, if you take away private property, then that whole thing about thou shalt not steal doesn't mean anything, does it? You can't reconcile Jesuits, Marxist Jesuits, you can't reconcile Marxism with Christianity. Thou shalt not steal, period. That implies private property. And there's also something there about don't covet, don't desire, don't envy your neighbor's property or anything that he has, right? So just throw out the Ten Commandments. And we put in Karl Marx in place. Yeah, that's just a conspiracy theory. I've got more about that, and we'll talk about why Crystal Ball. I guess she didn't see this coming. Or maybe she did see it coming. I don't know. Did she get out in time? Gave an interview with Hill TV. But we're going to have an interview coming up. Olivia Pleasant, we're going to be talking about CPS. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The mainstream propaganda. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Love electricity, shockwave, central power on the motherboard, yes.
Welcome back. I was glad to see in the hearings this week that we had a congressman from Texas, Ratcliffe, who explained to Bob Mueller and the rest of America that the standard is innocent until proven guilty. You don't have to prove your innocence under our system of law. But we don't have that for President Trump, and we don't have that for families across this nation who are caught up in the family courts with CPS and other issues. I've got an activist here, an advocate for CPS reform here in Texas, but what she has to tell us is something that applies across this country, because much of this system is being driven by the federal government and by federal judges. And so we're going to be talking to Olivia Pleasant. Before we go to Olivia, however, I just want to remind you of the specials that we have at InfoWarsStore.com, because, folks, if you don't support us at InfoWarsStore.com, you are our only sponsor. You know, we've had our ads shut down by Google long ago, as they're now moving against other people. They've shut us down on social media. We still have our different outlets. We still have our radio, TV programs are still available on the internet. You can still find me for the time being on Twitter and on YouTube. You can also find my podcasts pretty much everywhere. But you can find me Libertarian on Twitter, Libertarian on YouTube. But of course, you can also find me on InfoWars, InfoWars.com/David-Knight-Show. We'll always be free to speak openly and frankly about the issues that come before us, as long as you support us. And we try to make that easier for you. We've got some specials right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We have DNA Force Plus, 50% off. That's a big dollar savings. That is very expensive for us to produce. That ingredient, PQQ, as well as many other ingredients, but PQQ especially, that helps to support your DNA health, the telomeres, which are probably the best indicator of your biological age as those things get shorter. You can tell just how much time you got left as that hourglass is running out. Well, you want to slow that rate of decay down. PQQ is very effective at that. And right now you can save 50%, big dollar savings. Also, big dollar savings on the Alexa Pure Pro water filtration system. That's a gravity feed filtration system. That is now 40% off. We also have Super Male Vitality 50% off, and the InfoWars Life Protein Bars 40% off, and many other specials you'll find at InfoWarsStore.com. We really do appreciate and need your support. All right, let's go to Olivia Pleasant. She is a Christian, a conservative, who believes in the Constitution, and that makes her an activist and an advocate to reform CPS, because that is an affront to everything that we value. If we value Christianity and the principles of Christianity, if we value the principles of the Constitution and due process, this system that we call CPS now across this country is an affront to those very values. And so she is advocating CPS reform. We're going to talk about specifics and the trends that are happening across this country, not just in Texas. You can also find her. Her website is Olivia Pleasant 4. That's the number 4. OliviaPleasant4Texas.us. You can also find her on Facebook, Olivia Pleasant 4 Texas. Joining us now is Olivia Pleasant. Thank you for joining us, Olivia.
Thank you for having me on today.
You know, as I said, this whole idea that, you know, the standard is not to be exonerated, but that we're supposed to be innocent until we're proven guilty, that certainly doesn't apply in a CPS court. I've talked about this for a very long time, about civil asset forfeiture, before I realized just how bad it is in CPS. I mean, they can take your property without even charging you with a crime, but they can take your kids without even charging you with a crime. Talk about that.
Right, absolutely. In most cases, parents are guilty until proven innocent. It goes against every civil right and constitutional right that we have. You have to prove that you're innocent in order to have your children back. Most of the time, you aren't even found guilty. And whenever CPS takes these children from these parents, only 14 to 17% of the time are the claims actually ever substantiated. They're denied due process. They're suppressed evidence in court. They aren't even allowed to present their evidence in court. And they'll just show up at your door, knock, and take your children over allegations, anonymous phone calls, not vaccinating. It's insane.
That's right. We've seen that happen where they do a SWAT team. Just recently did that. And I've had guests on this show where they talk about the fact that they said, get a search warrant, and the police would go away. They'd come back two or three times. And finally, the social worker would have the police take the child at school and said, well, yeah, we can take your kid at school. We don't have to go through due process. The parents, in many cases, are never even presented with what the charges are. But let's talk about something that I'd never seen before, as I've talked to many people about CPS. This is a new trend. We've seen predictive analysis being used. And, of course, this is going back to the use of the Internet, geospatial intelligence, anticipatory intelligence. This is being used by law enforcement everywhere. But now they're using this to confiscate kids. Talk about the predictive analytics and talk about how this is now being taught in college courses to prospective social workers to take away children.
Yeah, right now they're doing a system of predictive analytics. And this, it's a terrifying system that they're using. And actually, one of the handbooks out of Pennsylvania actually says that it can be used when the child is still in the womb to predict whether or not the parent is going to be a fit parent.
Wow.
Yeah.
Talk about Minority Report stuff. I mean, it's not just pre-crime. This is pre-abuse, pre-birth.
Exactly. Exactly. It's basically the same thing that they used with crime. Whenever they came out and tried to use predictive analytics with crime, Los Angeles County ran a system. They called it the Approach to Understanding Risk Analysis. Out of that, it had a 95% false rate. That's an astounding rate of false positives. It identified 171 high-risk children accurately, but it actually flagged over 3,000 families.
Wow. This is the thing. We see this over and over again. You know, we had the war on drugs, and so people tolerated abuses and suspension of due process because, well, hey, we don't like drugs and maybe we can stop this if we get, you know, if we use force and so forth. Then we have the war on terror and, you know, we let predictive crime come out with all that type of thing. But once we accept this because we say, well, you know, the end will justify the means. Once we go down that path, then it starts to metastasize into all these other different areas. Once we let them take somebody's property without any due process or without even charging with a crime, pretty soon, you know, they're taking your children without doing that. Once you let people come in and spy on us without a search warrant and make assumptions with their pre-crime analytics and their anticipatory intelligence, pretty soon they're making assumptions about that. If they're going to do this, Olivia, in the womb, maybe they could eventually use this to say, well, we know this kid's going to be abused so by this parent, so we're going to force an abortion. I mean, that's the logical extreme where they could take this.
Right. You would, yeah, that it's not a far-off link to think that, but then they would lose out on the money, the title funds that they would get from taking that child, unfortunately, and that's a sad truth.
Yeah. But then Planned Parenthood could make the money. So it's kind of a, you know, that's where the struggle is going to be. Planned Parenthood could make the money by doing the abortion. So it's like Planned Parenthood versus the CPS people. But yeah, it is a very scary trend that we see happening with that. There's also another trend with this besides the predictive analytics. We also have the privatization trend that is happening. Talk about that.
Yeah. So some of Texas is actually one of the states that has privatized. There's several states that are privatizing right now. But it's basically privatized prisons for children that CPS is using and utilizing. In Texas, one of the privatized regions, right now there's two of them, but one of the privatized regions has already had a home that's been found guilty of sexual and physical abuse of children, and that home is still open and operating right now today and still houses children.
Wow. Wow. We got to take a break, but I just want the audience to think about this. Once we jettison basic fundamental principles in just one area, like the war on drugs, you know, we have private prisons, and then what do we wind up with? We wind up with more people in prison than any country in history. We have absolute numbers of prisoners higher than communist China. And now we're doing that, as Olivia just pointed out, with the foster care system. We take the power of the state and then we add to that a profit motive for these people. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back. We're talking to Olivia Pleasant. And again, she is an activist and advocate for CPS reform. You can find her at OliviaPleasantForTexas.us. And she also has a Facebook account, Olivia Pleasant for Texas. And that's the number four. We were talking in the last segment about how predictive analytics are now being used to identify potential abuse by parents even before it happens. This is a new pre-crime approach to CPS taking children. And something else that is new in this, but these are not new, that's perhaps new to CPS, but it's not new in terms of what law enforcement is doing in other areas, because as they pull back the basic fundamental principles that have been set up to protect us in the Constitution, things like due process, having your charges listed publicly against you so that you can address them, having a presumption of innocence that we heard about the other day. Remember that? That Mueller, the head of the FBI, this guy, the elitists in Washington, they don't understand anything about a presumption of innocence anymore. No, no, no. The standard is that you've got to exonerate yourself. You've got to prove yourself innocent. And that's the way that the government has been operating in so many different areas. Every bit of the administrative state is operated that way. And so are the family courts. And so that's why this predictive analysis is now so dangerous. And the privatization, as we see with the private prisons that have been part of the corruption driving this ineffective war on drugs across the country. Now we have that type of privatization raising its head with the foster care system. And Olivia was telling us how this is beginning here in Texas, but it's not just in Texas, because this type of stuff is coming from the federal government. So, Olivia, tell us about this. You said this was first asserted by a federal judge as recently in Texas as 2016.
Federal judge out of Corpus Christi actually said that parts of CPS and the foster care system are upheld as unconstitutional in the state of Texas. Turned around in 2017, and we passed SB 11, and that privatized CPS. We have two regions that are privatized right now, and they're planning to expand it in October of this year. Now, Trump had also signed in the Family First Service Protection Act, which is actually a great act. It would make it where children could only be in foster care for 2 weeks, and then they're returned home to their families to do their services. However, Texas is the number one state. Now, 26 other states have followed suit in saying that they're going to delay this act because of the title funds that they get. They get more money off of the title funds.
It's all about the money. Tell me about this Family First Services Protection Act. Is there anything in there that says that you've got to have due process before your children are taken away? Because a very small minority of these children taken away, there's a very small minority of these cases. Are there even allegations of physical or sexual abuse? I think it's something like 85% of them, if I remember correctly, somewhere in that range. It doesn't have anything to do with any allegations of physical or sexual abuse, let alone having that proven. I understand that if there are strong allegations about that, you'd want to get the kids out before they're harmed. But in the vast majority of these cases, that's not what it's about. Is there anything in this bill, this Protection Act, the Family First Services Protection Act, is there anything that would strengthen the idea of due process in these administrative courts?
It applies more to once the children are actually taken. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem to address the due process as much. It's actually part of why I put up a White House petition about investigating and reforming CPS. But it does address the Title IV E funds that are being used, which is the state's big incentive in taking children. So in a way, it addresses it, but indirectly.
And we see this kind of pattern again, just like we see with civil asset forfeiture. You have the federal government incentivizing this, coming up with a structure for this, like they do say, hey, you know, take the property and we'll split the money with you, you know, your local law enforcement. But then it's the local law enforcement that's doing this. And so the same thing is happening with the kids as well. You know, they're coming in and saying, well, you know, we've got this money out here and we'll share some revenue with you if you go ahead and take the kids, you know, from the federal government. They're pushing this with money.
Right. Right. And it really what really started it was in 97, whenever Clinton signed the Adoption Act that really added the incentive to taking the children and then placing them and getting them adopted out. So it really, really kicked off in 97 once he signed that bill. And that's when we really saw things start to skyrocket with CPS taking children illegally. It's really kidnapping by a government agency. That's what it boils down to.
I think we have to be very careful, you know, because we look at this, and as I said earlier in the program, adoption can be a wonderful thing. If you got somebody who literally their parents are drug addicts, they're in prison for that or whatever, or they're true orphans, adoption is a wonderful thing, and we want to do everything that we can to help that. And I think a lot of times that you pointed out, and it was Governor Abbott in 2017 signed this act to privatize much of this stuff. I think people in trying to help this along, they sometimes don't realize how they are incentivizing the theft of children in many cases if we're not careful about due process. Again, it comes back to the due process. Are we taking the kids away for the right reason, and do the parents have a chance to answer these charges? Because there are some bad parents, and they do need to have their kids taken away from them. But we have to be very careful that we do it the right way, and then we can help people along that route. You know, if somebody wants to take care of a child who does need to be taken away from the family. But when we privatize this, and I've seen this in the past, I've seen proposals from Republicans to try to privatize tax collection, for example. And I opposed that publicly. I said, do you realize, you know, in the Roman Empire, they had these people called publicans. And the Romans privatized tax collection, and the publicans were hated because they could go out and whatever they could collect above a certain amount, they could keep. And it's kind of what we've now done with foster care, what we've done with civil asset forfeiture programs and everything. I said, well, if you're going to push this as Republicans, maybe we should just call these people out there ripping people off. We should call them Republicans, because we're going back to the Roman Empire with this. And we're doing this in so many different areas.
Right. Yeah. And that's exactly what's happening. It's they're making money off of it. Actually, Texas ended up defrauding the federal government to the tune of $2.5 billion just in CPS and the Title IV e-funds last year. That's an astronomical number. It is a huge number. It should never have happened. And they're making money off of the kids. And if a kid has a disability, they make more money off of that child. So there's more incentive there. Whenever your child has autism, to take your child, there's more incentive there. And it's astounding.
So the federal government, and again, you know, say, well, we want to help kids with disabilities. So they put that money there. And then these people who are doing it for profit, this bureaucracy or these private companies say, if we get a kid with disability, look at, you know, we can milk that for cash. Or they can go after a family that's a lower income family. And because they don't have the ability, and we see this again with civil asset forfeiture. Most of the people who have their cars stolen in Chicago, for example, are poor people because it cost them at least $1,000 to even file the papers to try to get their car back. So they go in and take these cars that are around that amount of money. People don't have much money. The car's not worth much more than that, so they can get away with stealing it. That's what they're doing, coming after the children of poor families as well.
Yeah, and that's actually part of what the predictive analytics looks at, is the income, is what income bracket that the family is in. And if they've been on welfare, if they've ever been homeless, that's a part of the predictive analytics, actually, the system that they're using. So it actually does look at that, and they can take that into consideration whenever they take these children from the parents. And also a lot of these attorneys, they get kickbacks, and these judges get kickbacks whenever the kids are taken by CPS. And whenever the parents are low income, they get a court-appointed attorney. And then they just end up making more money. The longer the kids in the system, the more money the judges make, the more money the lawyers make, the more money CPS makes. It's racketeering. Wow. It's racketeering.
Yeah, it's this self-propagating bureaucracy. You know, we just saw this case in Pennsylvania where the school district threatened 1,000 families over the grand total of $20,000 that was owed. So it's an average of $20 a family. And they said, well, some of them owed $450. So you're going to have your kid taken for $450? They said, you pay up this overdue lunch money, or we're going to turn you over, take your kids and turn them over to foster care. You even had a local CEO say, well, I'll pay the money for them. They said, no, you're not. They can afford to pay it, and they're going to pay it. And if they don't pay it, then we'll take their property too, maybe. You know, because even in that particular case, because it got publicized, CPS started pulling back and said, I don't think we want, this is going to have really bad optics if we take somebody's kid for $20 lunch bill. But can you stay with us one more segment, and then we will talk about some of the other reasons that kids are being taken. And if you know of any other cases where they're threatening to take the kids over a $20 unpaid school lunch. I mean, this is how... this is, and again, that CEO said, this is about shaming those families. And I would say, yeah, that's part of it. But it's really about them exercising their authority and their power, because that's what a lot of these people get out of this. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Decoding the mainstream propaganda. This is the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We have Olivia Pleasant for one more segment. Again, you can find her website, information about CPS abuse and ideas for how we could reform this process. You can find her at OliviaPleasant4Texas.us. And again, that is the number four. So it's Olivia Pleasant, the number four, Texas. You can also find her on Facebook, Olivia Pleasant for Texas. Olivia, as we're going to break, we talked about this case that's gotten national attention over the school lunches. Do you know of any other cases that CPS has threatened to do that? I mean, there's a lot of different social causes that people run afoul of that can trigger an investigation by CPS. Do you know of any other ones with school lunches?
I know that's the big one with school lunches is out of Pennsylvania, but we also have the big one with vaccinations in New York, threatening not if you don't vaccinate your child. That's another big one. But the school lunch is really the primary focus I've heard of that is there in Pennsylvania. And of course,
there's things like homeschooling and stuff like that. Other cases where they say, well, you're not letting your kid transition sexually. We've got a case where a parent was blocked And they went ahead and they paid for that in schools. Now she's suing in federal court. They did that to a minor at an age where that minor could not even get married without parental permission. But of course, you know, you can get an abortion, you can sexually transition without parental permission because that's what they want to see happen. But let's talk, we got just a little bit of time here. Let's talk about the trafficking aspect. Tell us a little bit about what happens once these kids get into CPS. We've had a lot of statistics about what happens to kids in the foster system.
Yeah, even in the June 2019 State Department annual report on human trafficking, it pinpointed that foster care children are the greatest target for sex trafficking in the United States. 88% of runaway children in the United States that are being forced into sex work actually came from the child welfare system, according to a 2016 analysis of case reports by the National Center on Missing and Exploited Children. That's an overwhelming amount of children.
You sent that stat to me. You said when the FBI found these kids that went missing 88% of the time, they weren't even reported as missing by CPS. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, they were not even reported by CPS at all. It's similar numbers. In 2012 in Connecticut, 88 children rescued from sex trafficking. 86 of those children were from the child welfare system, and 84 of those children weren't ever reported missing.
Wow. That tells me that these people who didn't report it, these kids go missing and they don't report it because they don't want these kids looked for. That tells me that they're part of this system, obviously, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's part of the concern. We see everything going on with Epstein right now. Mm-hmm. And we've seen where they're talking about one of the flight tags being associated with all of this. And it makes you stop and wonder what is going on. And with the senator who was killed or murdered, as they want to say, while she was investigating what was going on with CPS in Arkansas and the ties to the Clinton Foundation, it makes you step back and wonder what is going on here and what's the bigger picture. Because
that was a state senator, a former state senator, and she was shot in the middle of an investigation of child disappearances there around the Clinton Foundation and so forth. And this is what I said to people. I said, look, you know, we can look at Jeffrey Epstein and, of course, you know, the network of elites that are there, the people who make sure that there is a very short statute of limitations and all this pedophilia stuff. But understand that this is much, much broader than Jeffrey Epstein. This is a system of decadence and child molestation that has permeated down. And even well-meaning people think that they're helping with adoption when actually they're making this into a system of profit for these bureaucracies when this runs through. But at the core of it is a repudiation of the fundamental principles that protect our individual rights and that protect us as families, because, you know, as families, we have individual rights as well. Thank you so much for joining us again, Olivia Pleasant. You can find her, Olivia Pleasant, the number 4, Olivia Pleasant, 4texas.us, and the same on Facebook. Thank you, Olivia.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. In this hour, I want to talk a little bit about 5G. We've had some interesting data come out about these diplomats and spies and liaisons that were in Cuba and elsewhere. They believe that they were targeted. You have the Trump administration saying they think that they're targeted. But as the FBI and the CIA and other people are looking at this, they say, well, we think it might be psychosomatic. And now we have hard evidence that there was actually measurable physiological damage done to their brains, done with research by the University of Pennsylvania. So I want to talk about that in the bigger context of what is coming with 5G. Why might they continue to say, well, you know, yeah, you heard things, you felt things, we can see this in your brain, but we think it might just be psychosomatic. What is going on with cell phone radiation? What do we have to be concerned about with that? So we're going to be talking about that in this hour. We're also going to briefly talk about what's going on in Puerto Rico. That's kind of a conspiracy theory by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. You know, she continued to attack President Trump about that, and yet we have a new development in Puerto Rico after the people rose up and got rid of a very corrupt president there. The new governor, not president, but governor, the new governor of Puerto Rico, on the very first day, got hit with an ethics probe. Maybe AOC wants to go back and take back some of those tweets that she said about President Trump and how he was taking advantage of Puerto Rico, how he wasn't helping them. And, you know, at the time we reported, we said, look at this. Look at the pictures of all this stuff setting on the docks, right? So we're going to get into that as well. But before we do, real quickly, I want to just finish up with this whole idea. You've got a former MSNBC host going by the name of Crystal Ball. How convenient. Crystal with a K. And on yesterday's, she went with The Hill. They've got a program called Hill.TV. Yesterday, she talked to The Hill, and she said that MSNBC engaged in, quote, InfoWars conspiracy theories on Russia. And this whole setup has done more to damage the Democrats' chances of winning back the White House than anything that Trump could have ever dreamed up. That's what I said. I actually called that the title of the program yesterday. I said, President Trump is laughing like Briar Rabbit thrown into the briar patch. Yeah, don't throw me in that briar patch. You know, Fox is going to eat him. And he said, well, you can, you know, do anything to me, but, you know, that's the one thing I don't want to have happen, because, you know, when he threw him in the briar patch, he was able to get away. A lot of wisdom from Uncle Remus, just like in Aesop's fables. It's a shame that Disney won't allow that to be shown. You know, slaves have many times far more wisdom than their masters do. That's the whole point of Aesop's fables and Uncle Remus's stories. But, you know, that's maybe they could have learned something about that, right? If only MSNBC and CNN could have had the luxury of watching Song of the South, they may not have done this. They may not have thrown President Trump in the briar patch. But as I was pointing out, you know, let's call InfoWars a conspiracy site. And that's why I was talking about, yeah, you know, this all this conspiracy about the Jesuits pushing Marxism. Well, no, that's actually a reality. They now admit it in their latest magazine. Or the fact that there was a genocide in Turkey against the Armenian Christians. Well, that's now been documented as well. And on and on and on, right? If you don't think that people work together to commit crimes, and that is the most commonly charged crime by the government, even though Bob Mueller was totally confused about that. He didn't know there was a difference between conspiracy. Oh, yeah, there's a difference between conspiracy and collusion. But then in my report, I said there was no difference. So now I take that back. Or do I go with the report, or do I go with what I just said? I'm not really sure. Well, as I pointed out, we just had YouTube shut down a podcast where a guy, they were talking about various conspiracy theories. You know, they're talking about whether or not there were multiple shooters at the Vegas shooting. What happened with 9/11? What happened with the Lusitania? What happened with the Gulf of Tonkin? And on, all these different things. I've talked about a lot of those as well. You know, we look at things like these alleged gassings of people that happened right, always in the Ides of March. You know, that's when they wanted to start a war, you know, get us involved in a deeper war with Syria. Oh, look, you know, the Syrian government was about to shut down this ISIS stronghold, and at the very last minute, they decided that they would gas these people so that the U.S. would come in on the side of the rebels and shut down the Syrian government, right? They did that 3 years in a row, and in the third year, they added a alleged Novichok, which is a far more intense version of VX nerve gas we have here in the West that came out of Russia. They added a supposed Novichok nerve gas poisoning of a spy who had been living for quite some time, many, many years. He was a double, maybe a triple agent living in London, had been a Russian spy, to show that this was Russia, so we could use that along with the the annual false flag gas attack. So there's a lot of narratives that are sold to us by people in the military-industrial complex, people like Nikki Haley and Lindsey Graham and Theresa May, to try to get us involved in wars. We should always fact-check these things. But, of course, these people for 2 years, even when we were fact-checking this here at InfoWars, they continued down this Russiagate conspiracy theory. We've had William Binney prove that it wasn't possible for the Russians to hack the DNC. Confirming what we were told by Julian Assange and a former British ambassador, and yet these people continue down this road. And so Crystal Ball says, MSNBC has done more to damage the Democrats than anything that Trump could have ever dreamed of. She said, some talent did drink more deeply of the Russia conspiracy waters than others. She said, Rachel Maddow, you've got some splaining to do. No, she didn't say splaining. She said explaining to do. I'm just, since we're talking about Puerto Rico, I'm thinking of Ricky Ricardo. They are the Puerto Rican governors. They got some splaining to do. And so does AOC. She says, seriously, this is not journalism. It is InfoWars conspiracy theory. Well, let's just set this straight. As Sean Hannity has said, when Shepard Smith has complained about him, you know, Shepard Smith is supposed to do the straight news. He is the real news at Fox, right? According to him. No bias on the part of Shepard Smith. And yet he is just dripping with bias. Shepard Smith hates President Trump as much as anybody on CNN or MSNBC. And yet he works for Fox News. And he has nothing but contempt for people like Sean Hannity or Tucker Carlson. They don't do real news. No, they do, actually. They do analysis of the news that's put out there. And you know, as I've pointed out many times, the very news that Shepard Smith chooses to talk about is evidence of where he is politically, right? Does he choose to talk about any of these attempts to push us into war, or does he choose to cheerlead that, right? Does he choose to talk about health issues, taking away our informed consent to push vaccines on us, taking away any legal liability of these sponsors of Fox News? No, he doesn't talk about that. Does he talk about the fact that President Trump, as he was going to mandate with his Health and Human Services, they were going to mandate that along with the list of adverse effects when they advertise these Ask Your Doctor pharmaceuticals on Fox, on CNN, on MSNBC, that they were going to also have to tell you how much it was going to cost a month? Some of these things cost as much as $16,000 a month. Don't you think you should know about that before you ask your doctor and push your doctor to try to prescribe these things? No, a federal judge shut that down. I mean, how could the administration have the authority to require them to tell you about adverse health effects and not have the authority to tell you about the cost of that? And yet, you know, Shepard Smith isn't going to cover a story like that. Why? Well, obviously because of the money. See, what you choose to even talk about, that's why they come after Drudge. That, you know, Drudge will put up stories from liberal sites like the New York Times, the Washington Post, Politico, and they'll say, he's conservative. Well, he puts up stuff that is interesting to him as a conservative Republican or a libertarian Republican or whatever. Yeah, what you choose to report even shows your bias. But yeah, we report the news and we do the analysis, and you want to call that journalism or not? Look, there is no objective journalism.
You may be right. I may be crazy. Oh, but it just may be a lunatic you're looking for. It's too late to find. It's too late to change.
Yeah, we may be crazy. We're conspiracy theorists, said Crystal Ball. Who saw that coming? Well, we told you 3 years ago. It was nonsense. We debunked it. You know, there are conspiracy theories that are based on facts. And then there are others, like this Russian collusion conspiracy theory, that has actually no factual basis whatsoever. And yet they have continued to push that for years and are still continuing to push it. To the detriment of their political party, to the detriment of their networks. We were telling you the truth. That's why they had to use other means to shut us down. Look, if we were lying to you like MSNBC and CNN, if what we were saying about these different news events made absolutely no sense and was non-factual, then we would have gone away, like you see CNN and MSNBC collapsing. But we were telling you the truth. That's why they had to use authoritarian censorship tactics to take us down, because we were telling the truth. That's the difference between what we were doing. But yet they continued to smear us, as you saw Crystal Ball do there. So let's take a look at some of these people here, still pushing their conspiracy theories. We've got Adam Schiff has done, guess what, 419 TV interviews to push this Russian collusion conspiracy theory, reports the Daily Caller. They've actually totaled these up. He seems to be making a second political career out of the Russian collusion conspiracy by participating in hundreds of television interviews, writes the Daily Caller. The House Intelligence Committee chairman, Adam Schiff, has amassed almost 50 hours of media time conducting 419 TV interviews on why he believes President Trump colluded with the Russians. He has become the Avenatti of the Russia conspiracy theory. And, you know, it's MSNBC, CNN. They're not conspiracy theorists. They're actually partisan propagandists. You know, I would say, too, you know, Fox, with the exception of Tucker Carlson, had become partisan propagandists as well. Shepard Smith is not objective. He's the most dishonest person there. And yet he says, well, I'm an objective journalist. Again, you can look at the facts. You can actually report from a live event and still give an analysis of the bigger picture and how it all ties together. You know, it's important. Like, go back to the DNC. You know, to talk to the people on both sides. Talk to the Democrats who supported Bernie Sanders. You talk to the people who supported Hillary Clinton. You can let them speak for themselves, and you can say, you can see what's happening here, right? This whole thing is about muddying the water so that people don't see the truth about Hillary Clinton. Or, you know, you could cover the Bundy standoff like we did, like I did. And you can see what's the actual, you know, the authoritarian aspects of what the government was doing there. But you understand the bigger context here, right? The constitutional issues, the private property issues. You see how this is happening not just to one family, but to many families. That's called analysis, Crystal. Put that in your crystal ball. It's not a conspiracy theory. But then we got Ted Lieu. Let's get video clip number four. Ted Lieu continues to try to push this idea even after he got shut down by Bob Mueller. You know, he got Mueller confused. You know, Mueller pretty much compliant with the Democrats. Yes, okay, yeah, we'll go with that. Yeah, President Trump committed felonies, and we can get him after he gets out of office, he says, right? And then later on, Bob Mueller got some legal advice, and he corrected it, right? And, you know, beginning with that, Ted Lieu said, well, the reason you didn't indict Donald Trump is because of the Office of Legal Counsel opinion stating that you can't indict a sitting president. Again, you know, the Constitution says that we're not going to get presidents hamstrung by the judiciary system on personal issues or even on policy issues. So you got a problem with what they do in terms of you think they've committed a crime or something? Well, then, you know, that's up to the House to indict them. We call that impeachment. And then there's a trial in the Senate. It's not because of OLC. They didn't create that. Isn't it interesting, however, that they will never talk about the Constitution? Because to them, the Constitution is a dead letter. You better understand that. These people never appeal to the Constitution. Well, the Office of Legal Counsel said that. And then Mueller said, yeah, that's correct. And so then you got Ted Lieu going on all these different programs saying, oh, yeah, see, he said President Trump committed a felony. Here, let's play video clip number four.
But you say Mueller fully understood your question. Doesn't Mueller's correction, which he later provided, prove otherwise?
This is what was so odd about that exchange. Special Counsel Robert Mueller agreed that the OLC opinion prevented a sitting president from being indicted. And then the Republican member after me asked him a series of questions to try to get him to walk it back. And he did not do that. And then it wasn't until there was a recess in the Intel committee that he started to walk some of that back. I don't know who got to him. I don't know who talked to him. But that was very odd.
Maybe his lawyer told him what the law is.
Well, what are you suggesting? Because he said he misspoke, he didn't understand, or whatever it was. That's why he wanted to clarify and walk back his response to your question. Are you saying he only did that because of pressure from someone?
I don't know. But he clearly answered the way he answered to me, and then he had numerous times to walk that back by the next Republican member who asked him a series of questions on the exact same issue, trying to get him to walk it back. So I don't really understand what happened, but we all agree, and even Robert Mueller would agree, that there is an OLC, Department of Justice, opinion that says the sitting president of the United States cannot be indicted.
So Nadler is going to continue down this line. Adam Schiff is going to continue down this line, just like Michael Avenatti, and it's going to end up the same way for all these guys, Andy Liu, all these guys are going to go down the Avenatti path. They're circling the drain, going further and further down the drain, the Schiff drain. You know, when he does this, as I said, Mueller was, it just showed his partisan bias, that he wants to agree with the Democrats and disagree with the Republicans. And then he had to have somebody call him in there and explain to him what the law says. The law doesn't say that there is a standard of exoneration. No, it's a presumption of innocence. He'd never read the report that has his name on it. That was my favorite comment. Somebody saying, you know, it's obvious that he hadn't read the report. Some guy said, this is like somebody who had someone write his term paper for him, and he just put his name on it. You know, he paid somebody to write a term paper for him, and now he's being questioned in front of the honors board. And that's just it. Mueller doesn't know anything about the law. He doesn't know anything about the Constitution. He doesn't know anything about the Mueller report. He just knows that he wants to agree with the Democrats and disagree with the Republicans. And then during recess, somebody comes over to him and says, you know, by the way, we've got, you're on record three different times with Attorney General Barr and with Rosenstein when he was there. They asked you three different times. You said, no, there's absolutely nothing that we would indict him for. You better walk that back. And he did. And so does that stop Andy Liu? No, he goes on with Wolf Blitzer to continue to push this conspiracy there. Well, you know, I think that just shows that there's a conspiracy here to try to silence him on this. Yeah, these guys, no matter how many times you catch them, no matter how many times you document their lies and their reversals, they continue to go down that path. Again, they're a bunch of Avenattis is what they are. Okay, so then we've got Ilhan Omar. We'll get to her when we come back. You know, don't forget the conspiracy theory about the climate. You know, we've got now the BBC and many others out there, these trustworthy news organizations. Now they're telling us we've only got 18 months to save the planet. Yeah, okay. Right. Even if you believe this so-called science, the people who do said this Paris Climate Accord, that was nothing but a radical restructuring of our economy. We even had AOC's chief of staff say that. We've had many people say that over the years.
Using free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. You know, Ilhan Omar has got a conspiracy theory. He's got a theory about white men. This is something that has just come out. Let's get video clip number two so you can hear her talk about how white men, not Islamic jihadis, are the real danger. And they're the ones who need to be monitored and controlled. Here's Ilhan Omar.
A lot of conservatives in particular would say that the rise in Islamophobia is a result not of hate, but of fear, a legitimate fear, they say, of quote-unquote jihadist terrorism, whether it's Fort Hood or San Bernardino or the recent truck attack in New York. What do you say to them?
I would say our country should be more fearful of white men across our country, because they are actually causing most of the deaths within this country. We should be profiling, monitoring, and creating policies to fight the radicalization of white men.
Yeah, it's the radicalization of white men, not the radicalization of Islamic jihadis. Islamis, that's what we should call them. Salami Islami. No, that was actually August of last year. That clip is not even a year old. It just resurfaced. She was running for office at the time. That was not a disqualifying statement for her at the time. And again, that was with an Al Jazeera host. She asked what she thought about Islamophobia. Oh, I think we need to not be afraid of jihadis. You know, even though we've had the bike path massacre that killed eight people, Allahu Akbar, or the other situations in France and other places, Allahu Akbar. No, it's all those white men. You know, I mean, it's really going back to American Carol. Do you remember that movie? Oh, boy, I tell you, Hollywood and the left really hated that. But it was the guys who gave us Naked Gun and some of the other comedies. And in that, you know, they had a Michael Moore character lecturing us and saying, you know, the problem is not Islam. You know, the problem those Christians out there, those white Christians. And so in his imagination, what he was telling everybody, you know, they acted it out for people. He had the nun get on the bus and shouts, "Hail Mary, full of grace," and pulls out a crucifix out of a hand grenade, you know, that was hanging around her neck, and blows up herself and everybody on the bus. Because, you know, that's what nuns and Christians do all the time. Yeah, that's their reality. And now that has become what Ilhan Omar and these people on Al Jazeera are telling us. They are literally telling us. I mean, that was that's why I said you can't do satire anymore. And this is why these people are shutting down all satire and comedy, because they are the satire. They're so hypocritical that they don't want anybody pointing that out with satire. And so you can't make any jokes about this stuff because they themselves are the jokes. What was shown in American Carol is now the reality that Ilhan Omar is out there trying to tell. You know, the people who you really should be watching, those white men, those Christians, it's not us Muslims. It's those people out there who are committing suicide terror attacks. Yeah, that's the ones. Our country should be more fearful, says Ilhan Omar, of white men across the country because they are actually causing most of the deaths within this country. And she's not the only one saying that. We hear that all the time. Oh, yeah, it's the white people that are doing all the terrorist attacks. We should be profiling, monitoring, and creating policies to fight the radical white men. Believe me, that's exactly what they intend to do. And then she has problems when people question her patriotism. Here's video clip number 3.
And so I am, I think, quite disgusted, really, to be honest, that as Muslim legislators, we are constantly being asked to waste our time speaking to issues that other people are not asked to speak to, because the assumption exists is that we somehow support and are for, right? No, there is an assumption.
Yeah, because nobody else.
Make sure.
It isn't white men who support female genital mutilation, Ilhan.
And is looking at me and Rashida and Abdul and Sam.
The sisterhood of traveling burkas?
They ask us the proper questions that they will probably ask any member of Congress or any legislator or any politician.
Oh, yeah.
And would not come with an accusation that we might support something that is so abhorrent, so offensive, so evil, so vile.
Okay, let's just hold it there while she struggles to lie to us, to find the right words. Look, this is why we say, go back to where you came from. You think that white men are more dangerous than radical Islamic terrorists, jihadis that you fled from? Then go back to them. It's just that simple. You had it so much better in Somalia. It's these white men over here that created America that you ran to. They're the ones that are the threat. They're the ones that are the problem. So go back to that wonderful place in Somalia, the fighting warlords and the Sharia law and the brutalization of women and the female genital mutilation. That's why we ask you about that, because you think that that's better than America, Ilhan. So go back. Go home. Go back to your paradise, your Islamic paradise. We don't want your Islamic system here. We reject that. In totalitarian measures that you've imposed on people. Everywhere she goes, she wears the symbol of her subjugation as a woman. Why don't the feminists and the Democrat Party have a problem with that? Can you imagine? You know, they have the fantasy of a Christian patriarchy, Handmaid's Tale, Margaret Atwood. She imagines this fictional world where the Christians are like the Muslims, and that's exactly what Ilhan Omar is doing. Oh, no, it's not the Islamic jihadis. It's those white men that you got to be afraid of. And Margaret Atwood says, oh, no, it's not the jihadis. It's those white Christians that you have to be afraid of. And they come up with a costume that isn't nearly as oppressive as the full cover burqa that women in Islamic countries have to wear. And then Ilhan Omar wears something that is every bit as much a sign of her subjugation as any of the women in The Handmaid's Tale. And nobody calls her a handmaid of Islam. But that's exactly what she is. She and the rest of that sisterhood of traveling burqas. They're just a bunch of Islamic handmaids telling us that we're the problem and that we need to go somewhere else because they're taking our country now. We'll see about that. We'll absolutely see about that. And then we have this other conspiracy theory about, you know, Jeffrey Epstein. I'm sure that's a conspiracy theory. You know, he had an alleged, perhaps a suicide attempt. Many people have said, well, you know, he's going to get suicided by the Clintons. You know, we've had a lot of people who have dirt on the Clintons and they wind up committing suicide. But that's just a conspiracy theory, right? And Coulter is saying, you better move him to a supermax prison before he is suicided. Oh, well, that's just a conspiracy theory, right? We don't have to really worry about that, except they are questioning now the guy who was sharing a cell with him. He says, oh, yeah, they went in and he was sleeping and listening to his headphones. I didn't see or hear anything. I don't know how he got, why he's unconscious with that, lying around his neck. I don't know anything about that. This guy is serving life in prison. Life in prison. So what are they going to do to him if Jeffrey Epstein turned up dead in his cell, right? you know, maybe somebody on the outside might do something for his family, you know, that type of kind of a, you know, a Jack Ruby kind of deal. Hey, you know, look, you're dying of cancer here. We can make some good things happen for your family. Just help us with this a little bit. You know, we got some loose ends we need to tie up here. Yeah, wouldn't be surprised at all. No, it's just a conspiracy theory. All these Clinton sides that we see everywhere, nothing to see. Move on. You know, just a conspiracy theory. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back. We've got one more segment. I want to talk about one more conspiracy theory, and this one involves AOC. Well, actually, she's involved in a couple of different conspiracy theories. There's not just the parking lot fantasy outrage that she had, but also Puerto Rico. And Kyle, one of our people here, has been to Puerto Rico, and he's got something to say about what he saw there with the protests to remove these corrupt politicians and how this all involves in a lot of conspiracy theories that AOC was throwing at President Trump. Before we get to that, I want to remind you again of the new specials that we have at InfoWarsStore.com. We have 50%, up to 50% off all storable foods. You know, we're going to be talking about the hurricane that hit Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico had massive problems after that hurricane, but they had problems even when they weren't hit by a hurricane. They were having their very shaky system of infrastructure, electric power infrastructure that was going up and down all the time anyway. And now this is happening across America as you have these democratically controlled jurisdictions like New York, where they have crippled power generation in the name of environmentalism. They're not going to allow clean generation, even if it's totally clean. They're not going to allow it if it is done by fossil fuel. So that's going to be shut down. And then they wind up with a system that is doing brownouts, can't keep up with demand, a system that is shaky. And, you know, we see that type of thing happening across the country. But now it's coming to the United States. You know, if you have your power go out for whatever reason, if it's a storm, if it's natural, or if it's a man-made disaster brought on by Democrats or corrupt government officials, you need to make sure that you've got storable food and also a clean supply of water. And so we have all storable food up to 50% off. We have the Alexa Pure Pro water filtration system. That is now 40% off. That's gravity feed, so you don't need to get power from a renewable energy source that they would let you have in New York City. You can get it from that other energy source called gravity. It's a clean energy source. And it is one that so far the Democrats haven't managed a way to take that away from you. And so, again, the Alexa Pure Pro Gravity Feed Water Filtration System, now 40% off. All storable food up to 50% off. And then things like DNA Force Plus, 50% off. Supermale Vitality, 50% off. The InfoWars Life Protein Bars, 40% off. You can see all those specials at InfoWarsStore.com. We really do appreciate your support. All right, let's talk about the latest development in Puerto Rico, and then I want to get Kyle to join us here. You know, we've had the Puerto Rican governor. People were protesting for quite some time. He finally resigned. Ricardo Rosello, he finally resigned. And I said, you know, he puts the RICO statute in Puerto Rico, right? Racketeer, influence, and corrupt organizations. That's what the Puerto Rican government has become. It's become a giant RICO organization. He resigned. And then as finally, after a very long process of protests, and then the governor in waiting, the person who has the title Secretary of Justice, her name is Wanda Vasquez. She has now become the target of an investigation by the Office of Government Ethics even before she becomes governor. They announced a review of her conduct as the island's top law enforcement official. She has a reputation for being a corrupt official who will carry on with the policies of Rosello. And marches that have been planned to demand that she also resign and that the island allow the people to select a new leader. And this is the background of what has been going on in Puerto Rico for quite some time. It is very corrupt. It is actually a RICO organization there. And Kyle, you were just in Puerto Rico. You've got a fiance there that is in Puerto Rico. You took a vacation. You spent some time down there. Tell us what you saw with the protests and the attitudes of the people there, what you learned about the situation firsthand.
Yeah, David, that's correct. And the popularized term that's been floated around is Ricky Leaks.
And, yeah. Ricky Leaks, yeah.
And this was all
Lucy,
after,
we got a problem.
Yes, sir. And this was all after Governor Ricardo Rosello, who was continuing corrupt policies that were passed on by his father. And basically, the Puerto Rican people just got fed up, and they finally organized around this. And they did it in all kinds of ways, creative methods, including up to 7,000 motorcyclists getting together and parading. We saw musicians, artists, even people doing yoga on government property in order to show that the community can organize together in a way and show the government that we as the people still can control the power.
That's good. Yeah, and unlike Hong Kong, you didn't have some big power like China send in the triads to beat people doing that. They didn't have any police and riot gear beating down the crowds, did they?
No, this was largely unviolent, except for a few isolated cases where tear gas was used, and there were a few troublemakers in within the crowd. The crowd actually worked to try and dispel their own people that were using violent acts, and to try and stop it amongst themselves rather than have the police get involved, mm-hmm. which was something that was also done effectively. You can see up on the screen right now the motorcycle parade of up to 7,000 bikers, and even the leaders of that stopped some of the other bikers that were driving out of control. So seeing some of this own community ownership out there was actually something that was very exciting to see the people utilizing their with their free speech and their action.
That's really hopeful. You know, but the problem is that even when you've got a massive grassroots organization that says, hey, let's keep this peaceful, let's try to reform this, you still have these corrupt individuals at the top, like the governor. How long did it take them to have these demonstrations before this guy shut down? Do you have any idea? That went on for quite some time, didn't it?
It did. People were already organizing, and I was beginning to see a little bit of the unrest develop when I was there back in June. That's also around the same time that Trump actually passed a $19 billion disaster relief fund to help out areas that are underneath catastrophe, such as Puerto Rico, as well as some areas of the states that have been affected by various natural disasters, being tornadoes or Puerto Rico, for example. With the Maria incident, which occurred almost 2 years ago, come September.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, and that's where AOC comes in, right? Because she was very vocal about the fact that President Trump wasn't doing enough to help the victims of Hurricane Maria. So this was going on well over a month, almost maybe 2 months, I guess, because now we're at the end of July. You know, it was quite a while back that you went to Puerto Rico. So I guess maybe at least about 2 months these things were going on before the guy would step down, and then he puts in place somebody that the people in Puerto Rico believe is just as corrupt as he was. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's exactly right, David. And in the short term, it was only about 2 weeks since the Ricky leaks were revealed to the public, and they were broken through the Center of Investigative Journalism, or CPI, a similar organization in many ways to us here at InfoWars for presenting the information to the people and letting them go out and do their own research and make their own decisions. And exactly like you were saying earlier, the AOC situation is super ironic because she plays to many of the identity politics of the Puerto Ricans, and yet she's failed to do her research in many ways to see how much Trump has helped this area, as well as to see that the actual issues of the problem of corruption are more aligned with the policies and procedures that she's advocating for.
Absolutely. Yeah, she accused President Trump, you're not doing enough to help the victims in Puerto Rico, and yet at the time that she was screaming about all this, we had video reports of massive amounts of supplies that had been sent from the U.S. down to the ports. They were sitting there at the dock because the corrupt government wouldn't take this in. And prior to Hurricane Maria, I remember when they had some another hurricane going through there. It looked like it was going to hit Puerto Rico, but it missed it. And we contacted somebody that we've talked to before down in Puerto Rico to give us a live report from down there. And he said, yeah, it didn't hit us, but we still lost power because we're losing power all the time. The government is so corrupt, they won't invest any money into the infrastructure and so forth. They didn't have any way to get these supplies in, either that or these corrupt officials were stealing that those supplies that have been sent down by the Trump administration. But AOC is putting it all on President Trump. They got into an argument about how many people had died. The official count from Puerto Rico was for quite some time 64. And then all of a sudden they jumped it up to 2,975. And so she goes on CNN saying it's 3,000 people, 3,000 people. It's like, well, take a look at the corruption that's there. She says that the U.S. should cancel the debt because of Puerto Rico, because it is an invaded colony. Never looking at the corruption of these socialist governments anywhere. The people don't want that. The people are driving this out, and I hope, hopefully the people of America, people of Queens, will drive her out like they did Ricky. We got plenty of leaks about her as well. That's the program. Thank you for joining us. We'll be right back.